Cerruto, try it again. Fans on the feet, 6,000 in attendance. The payoff is flied into right field, going back at the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! Go ahead, three-run home run for the senior! Peter Cerruto has given the Indiana Hoosiers the lead!
Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this at, just after 8 p.m. on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I make note of the time because we're actually recording this just after a game. I'm Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. The Indiana University baseball team won its third straight Big Ten series this past weekend in Minneapolis. Ty Bothwell was electric as Indiana cruised to victory in the series opener on Saturday. Friday's freeze-out turned into a Sunday doubleheader, and we know how much we love those. The first game was an absolute disaster for the Hoosiers, who struggled in most facets of the game and suffered their fourth run rule-style loss of the season. The Hoosiers had very short memories, as just 40 minutes later, they jumped out to a three-run lead on the third batter of the second game and controlled the game the rest of the way. For a blowout win of their own and to win the series. Tuesday's anticipated in-state matchup on the big stage of Victory Field in Indianapolis was washed out by rain. The game moved Wednesday to Muncie for a matchup between Indiana and Ball State at Muncie. The Hoosiers were down 7-1 in the top of the eighth inning, and that was, about 2.5 hours ago. Three runs in the eighth and three runs in the ninth forced extra innings. No one scored the rest of the way. It got dark and the game was called on behalf of darkness after 12 innings in a 7-7 tie.
Come on.
Oh. So the Hoosier bullpen held the Cardinals scoreless in the last five innings, which was quite a feat. Lots of young arms got out there to keep that game from getting into the loss column. But the Hoosiers were not able to produce the offense either early or late to be able to scratch out a win. But I don't know. The way I was feeling at the end of the middle of the seventh inning, I think we were a tie is definitely better than a loss. But, you know, it's
You know what it is? You're down 7-1. Obviously, a tie is good. But I feel like there was opportunities to be had late in the game, especially in the ninth inning. Like, once we tied it, like, just go ahead, take the lead, and just figure it out in the bottom of the ninth. So it's frustrating. And then it's every inning, you know, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. And, I mean, you had mentioned in our text chat that this might be it, you know, because of the lights. So we kind of knew it, but I still say you get all the parents, you put the cars, you face them correctly, you put your lights on, and you play ball.
But I will say the tie did gain Indiana two spots in RPI versus what would have been a sure drop with a loss.
Yeah. Actually, so it would have been a 5. I calculated it as a 5-point drop was what would have happened with a loss. Oof. So, well, 5-rank drop. But yeah, so it's, you know, now the thing is they would have been have a 5-rank improvement if they had won the game. So,
yeah.
And this is the thing, this is the other piece of that. Normally you get a benefit by playing games on the road. Ties do not give any favorites. You don't get that extra road bump. It is a straight half a game loss and a half a game win is what's attributed to the overall record, versus if you lost the game, it would have been 0 wins and 0.7 losses. And if you had won the game, it would have been 1.3 wins to no losses. So it's a 0.5 wins to 0.5 losses, like a neutral site game, which is what it was supposed to have been. Although that wouldn't have been called for darkness as they
have lights there, Paul. I see them. They hide up in the sky. Like, they kind of go around on each side of the park. Like, most parks have Muncie. These Muncie people. But you know what? We beat them 11 times in a row up until today, and it's still going because it's a tie.
Yeah.
So it's 11-0-1. You know, it sounds like a weird NFL record or something, right? With the wins and the ties, 11-0-1. Hey, they still ain't beat us. Good credit for coming back. But really, it's frustrating because it shows, again, the slow starts this offense has had. And it just rears its ugly head again. I don't know what it is. It's like, we know we're better than this.
Yeah.
You know, we know we have the offense. And yet, we can wait and wait to come back. And sometimes it's just not enough. You know, we saw it against the Mastodons. Yeah. We came back late. It wasn't enough. I feel like there's several other games where we go down. Now, the 8-0 game, you know, we did come back and win that one. But I don't know. The slow starts for this team, it's just, you know, it looks like we're going to have to win the tournament to get into the big tournament. And, you know, this isn't going to – the slow starts aren't going to work. They're not going to work in a tournament setting. But then you have to burn more pitches because it's going through another inning and you still don't have the lead or it isn't a close game. I mean, what is there, 15 games left to figure it out?
14. We got a jump.
What is it?
14 left.
14 games left. Oh, it was 15 when we were in a car.
Yeah.
14 games. Me and Carl drove all the way to Indy yesterday. We literally are on 37. The smokestacks appear. I'm like, oh, Carl, you know, every time I go to Indy, I know I'm almost there when I see the smokestacks. I look at my phone, and Cass is asking, so podcast Thursday? I'm like, what is she talking about? And we were talking so much in the car about sports and this, that, and the third, that we didn't even realize it had been canceled yet. So then, you know, we turned around. But, man, the slow starts are killing us. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I've watched ball long enough to know that this much of the season I've picked up on it. And the bats just way too late to wake up. And this is supposed to be the strength of our team is the offense.
Yeah. And this isn't what you saw typically, which is a lot of times you would see just, you know, one real stud pitcher that is just doing phenomenally well. And that's not, I mean, this was like four different guys for the first seven innings that Ball State used. And these were guys that got lit up last week. So,
It was Butler. It was Butler Thursday. It was Thursday Butler all over again, right? Now, I couldn't watch the game. I could barely even pay attention to it until I got home from work because I didn't plan my world around there being a game today. Usually I do. So, you know, I had to just continue on with my regular schedule, so I really missed a lot of it. But, you know, the word from Butler and the word from a lot of these road games is that, you know, it's just we're not fired up quick enough, you know, and it takes something to really just fire us up. And then we hit, then we go, then we rally. But sometimes it's just the hole's too big. And this one, it was just big enough to tie it. Couldn't take the lead, and now we're kissing our sister. Tie. There's no ties in baseball. Oh, it's weird doing this right after a game because, like, the emotion. We usually don't do this. Usually it's a regular day when we do the pod. But I am looking forward to the weekend. You know, most of the season's about the Big Ten now anyway. So they'll take credit for coming back, I'm sure. But let's get it going early. Do something. Change the pregame meal, Mercer. Whatever you got to do. Switch this up. Get these guys to get one earlier.
All right. So just kind of looking at the week as a whole, Cass, what are your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, so I had a few thoughts, and I did actually manage to squeeze in the stats from the Ball State game, too, that just wrapped. But I was kind of intrigued by something that Render had talked about a little bit, where, like, this team is averaging almost 8.5 runs a game, but it's kind of either they score a bunch more than 8 or they score way fewer than 8. And so I was looking at those, and out of the 41 games, 21 of those, the Hoosiers have scored at least 8 runs. So right about their average or better. But in 10 games, so almost a quarter of the season, the offense hasn't even managed to scrape together five runs. And so that kind of caught my eye a little bit of, we've got that many games where the offense isn't doing anything. Meanwhile, on the mound, the pitchers, this is not great, have 17 games where they've given up eight or more runs as a whole. But seven of those 17 games were also games that the offense scored fewer than five runs. So seven out of those 17, it's almost moot. And some of it is moot because the games were so uncompetitive that you're putting pitchers out there, not necessarily that you know are going to get lit up, but who have been inconsistent on the season. You're not throwing your best guys. And that's how some of these scores get so out of hand. Meanwhile, they have 11, the pitching staff has 11 games where they've given up fewer than five runs, which that's pretty big. Those games are typically wins and typically very unbalanced, like some of the Butler games, 11-2, 22-3. Obviously, we know when this pitching staff can really control the game, it makes a big difference. So that was kind of the big thing I was interested in, was looking at those. But I also wanted to throw out there, and this might, I don't know, I haven't talked to Feeney yet, this might segue into his red belts pretty well, or at least honorable mention. But I just wanted to highlight the fact that Jolly had eight RBI in the third game against Minnesota.
It's amazing you knew it would lead into the belts, Cass.
Well, I figured at the very least it's an honorable mention.
If you don't get a red belt for eight RBIs, who's going to be the honorable mention?
Well, I wanted to point out that from what I can tell, that's the most RBI in a Big Ten game in IU history, which was previously held by Matt Lloyd when he got seven in a game. But
wait, in the history of IU,
from what I can tell, per the history books, in Big Ten games, the record had been seven RBI in a game.
Freshman, sophomore, senior, anybody.
So by default, that means that
they
eight RBI.
Out. That's an amazing stat.
Right. And it's the most in any game since 1992. And that
Mike something.
That player happened to be Mike Smith, who
he has
is
every record.
Yeah, and he's the only ever NCAA Triple Crown winner. Not just the only ever IU NCAA Triple Crown winner. No, he's the only one ever in any, from any team in NCAA. And that was against UW Milwaukee. Oh. So very much not Big Ten.
No.
Not that nine RBI is easy no matter who you're playing. But no. For Jolly's name to be in there, be right up there with Mike Smith, that's a huge, huge point of comparison. That's a huge name to be mentioned in the same breath as, particularly as a freshman. So I did just want to highlight that because I was so fascinated. And poor Joey Brinchesky held the freshman RBI in a game record for 1 week before Jolly took it over. So now Joey just needs to go tie Mike Smith's record, and then he can have the freshman record back again.
Yeah, good luck with that. Nine RBIs. I guess it's possible. I mean, anything. Who would have thought somebody would have got eight? But
eight, yeah. But well, but yeah. So that.
That's so it's not about class, like freshmen. I mean, ever.
Yeah, ever.
Big Ten game.
In Big Ten game. As far as I can tell, I'm not going to swear by it, but from what I can tell from the media guide, it's
the
most.
Where else are you
going
to go if you went
Ten
to that? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely led into the red belts, Cass, because The offensive red belt, here's a shocker. The Alex Dickerson Award will obviously go to Jason Oliver. Cass led right into it. Perfect segue. 8 RBIs, the home run, the whole thing. I was going to get into the Joey B thing, how he stole his freshman record, but damn, now Cass is breaking this out. The most RBIs in a Big Ten game in the history of IU baseball. Been playing baseball here for like 100 years. Wow. It's even, I mean, it's mind-blowingly impressive to put it there. Like, that's a whole nother league of thing. Doesn't matter how old they were, the class, anything. Oliver has been such a surprise. I mean, I was just happy that he was the kid that was supposed to go to Michigan, and then we got him. Whether he played a game, I just was glad that we stole him from Skip. And to see what he's become. And honestly, rumblings in the fall and the preseason, the January, was that, you know, we had a player here, but there were some people in front of him, and he was going to have to earn his chops. And he did, you know. The other things and the other options and whatever happened at second base opened the door, you know. But we don't open doors wide open for people in D1 baseball. You open it a crack, and you got to kick it the hell down. And he did. You know what I'm saying? He could have easily been back on the merry-go-round, right? When the door opened a little for Oliver, he could have been, and then I would have been back, right? Carlson and Burkle and da 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 da. But no, he kicked that thing down, and now the power. I mean, the power. Another, I mean, I think we mentioned this before, that Ava, the beat reporter for the Hoosier Network, had mentioned this kid has power. Like, I lived in the high school town with him, and he can hit homers, and I was like, awesome. I mean, this is great, great. I mean, we hadn't seen it yet. He'd been great approach at the plate, a lot of walks, a lot of singles. He was getting on base. And she was just like, wait, this dude has power, and he sure does. I think he has like 4 homers already. I might be exaggerating, but I think it feels like he's got about that much. I mean, he had 2 in one game, right? And then the one in the 8, I think he's got about 4 home runs, honestly. I think he does. And he's been a great surprise, and I think he's going to be, you know, sky's the limit for this kid. So he gets the offensive. The pitching red belt, again, these are some easy belts, I'm going to tell you. Ty Botwell, 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 13 strikeouts, and it puts him at over 200 for the IU career, which tip of the hat to Ty. Not just for helping Carl with his bike light if he needed it, which he didn't, but if he did, Ty was ready there. 200 strikeouts for this kid. I mean, just the way they described him on the Big Ten Network. I know Cass had mentioned it in the group chat. I had heard it too, and I was like, this is kind of weird that they're saying this. The tough, you know, fit, chiseled athlete on the mound, and the one that we saw, you know, as a senior in high school, and what he's done and been able to, you know, the career at IU and what he's going to do in the future. He's a real good young man, and sky's the limit for him in his future, whatever he chooses to do. I'm so glad he had the 200. And I'm sorry we didn't get a new 200 picture put together. I did use the one for Logan Sauer's 200 hits. Yep. And then I saw Carl was all over it today for Josh Pine. He was able to throw it out again. So, Ty, Josh, I don't know what to tell you. You know, we re-gifted that one. It's all right. It's still 200 for both accomplishments. The photo just might have been when Logan Sauer's hit his at the bar.
That's what happens when you reach those milestones, not at the BART.
There you go. Because they were both on the road. Perfect. Yep. Perfect. That's what it was. So the 200 club for the K's, for Ty, 200 club for Josh, like we mentioned. Josh didn't get a belt this week, but he got a damn good accolade. 200 hits is nothing to sniff, wave a hat at, whatever that term is. It's big time. Okay. And he's a junior. You know, it's not even, he didn't even have the 4 years. So going to defensive, the really stellar play that I noticed was early on in the game in Ty's game. Tyler Cerny went into the 6.5 hole, went out there, got it, was able to make the play. And Tyler really has been working on the D. I know early on there were some miscues and some errors and whatnot. I think he's been really solid lately. So Tyler Cerny's going to get it. The next two games, I mean, neither one was really close. There wasn't really a big play that defined anything. But for Tyler's play there at short before the game got out of hand for Ty, we're going to give it to Cerny. So the red belts are going to be Tyler Cerny, Jason Oliver, and Ty Bothwell. And now I don't have the script in front of me, Carl, so you might have to edit this. But usually right about now, we kick it to you for a look at the RPI.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a few things I'm gonna discuss. First of all, you are correct. It's four home runs for Jolly so far on the season.
Nailed it.
So that is correct. So what I'm gonna discuss here is a little bit of the NCAA resume, and then kind of going and a little bit of discussion on where things are sitting in the Big Ten as a league. So if you go to iubase.com, I do have an analysis up there where I kind of detail all of this. And I looked at a couple of things. I looked at what Boyd's World has a needs report. And I was looking at that plus my own numbers. And they both kind of jived in that, which is that before this evening, or this afternoon, I guess technically, because it wasn't evening. You couldn't play in the evening. Before this
We
afternoon.
would have played in the evening last night if it didn't rain, and then tonight if they had lights.
Yeah. Essentially, you look at the RPI numbers, you were kind of targeting a record of 12-3 down the stretch, which this is a tough stretch Indiana's going on. So 12-3 is a very tall order. And now, so far in that set, they are half and half, which then makes my math a lot more difficult. So I can't give you precise numbers right now because I have to actually go in and change things in my spreadsheet to deal with ties. Because I was like, I'm just gonna try to. It's been years. It's been since what, 2016? I think it's been since they've had a tie game.
Yeah, the
So,
Sunday against Iowa. And then there was like two other ones. We had like three ties in one season that year.
And yeah, it was yeah. So it was. I didn't really. I was being lazy and didn't include that. Now I've got to go in and actually include that in my math. So we'll see how that works out. Because I don't even think I said things. I don't think Boyd's World actually deals with ties either. So that's going to make that more difficult to examine as well.
But if you took it just completely out, like the game was never played, would that help the math?
Nope. It's not, because that's not how it works. It's half it's a half a win and half a loss. So the point is they could only afford three losses, and they've now given up half of those. Half well, half of the half of one loss. So
Gotcha.
they can afford 2.5 more losses.
It's
like when the NFL gives you the playoff predictions. Win, loss, or tie by the Giants, Eagles, and Chargers, the Jets might actually get in.
So it's again not completely out of the realm of possibility, but it's that window is closing really, really fast, and it's going to have to require, to your point, Chris, they're going to have to not have any more of these games where the offense disappears for the first 5 innings of the game. They can't. There is no margin for error in this anymore. If they have a bad game with the pitching. And in 14 more games, there's going to be at least one. They're going to have to match that with a really, really good offensive onslaught. They're going to need to put one of those 18-run games up in a game where the pitching gives up 13. They're just going to have to figure some way to make that happen, and maybe it will. Now, I guess the other question I answer and I was like, well, is that you look at this and it's okay, so this gets them into that bubble range of RPI, is that good enough? Well, that's where I think the positive news comes in. The resume is awesome. They're 5-6 against quad one opponents right now. That's going to blow away anybody else in the bubble. They've got wins over numbers 13, 10, and 17 in the RPI. One of those is a true road game. The non-conference strength of schedule is top 40. And it's only getting, I mean, this game would have helped that because Ball State's got a really good record. They're going to be helped out by their other two games as well. So, if they can get the resume on the table, if they can get it into the committee's hands, it's a really good resume. But the RPI has got to get there. And right now, I said, what did you say, Cass? It's at 75 now. Is that right?
78.
Okay. Well, I actually dropped. So, it was
Well, it was 80 earlier in the day
oh, okay. Well, it was yeah, it, this
from
morning it
having
was
not played
right.
yesterday,
Okay.
essentially,
Yeah. But
when
yeah,
most of the country does.
yeah. So yeah, that was, yeah, that's, sorry, it's really, really going to be tough. They're just going to have to go on a tear. And this is going to mean they're going to have to do something they haven't done yet. And that's sweep at least one, if not now, maybe two Big Ten series. And then they're going to have to, win the two remaining midweek games. One of those is Louisville at the on the road. And I know Louisville isn't the, the Louisville we knew 4 or 5 years ago, but they're still a pretty good team in a really, really tough conference. So,
And on a midweek, Carl, their depth would start on our team.
yeah.
So that's going to be, I mean, that's going to be rough. Our midweek is like our kryptonite lately, right? And then their midweek guys, that they would probably, a lot of them would start in the Big Ten, the pitchers. So you said we have to go 12-3. That's going to be a rough one to win.
But hey, if they can, if the pitching can, the pitching that ended this game can kind of learn something from that and be able to be as good as this, is to shut down a team in a key in a bunch of key innings for 5 innings.
And what does that game follow? Like, what's the schedule like around that? Because I know sometimes we really get the raw end of the deal when it comes to some of these big time midweeks because we've played so many games in a row, or we haven't had days off, or there's two midweeks.
There's no issues. This is there's only four games. There's
Straight,
no more
straight.
5 game. Next week they don't have a midweek, and then there's one each of the last. I think it's the one right before Michigan, but
Right. Yep.
it's
Okay. Just making sure.
right. So it's one of those things. Keep it out on the outside. It's very much just an outside thing to talk about an at-large bid. It's not something I would predict at this point, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. This team is just going to have to suddenly put all this together and get hot and go on a tear. And it's going to have to start this weekend. And talk about series sweep. If you're talking about an at-large bid, this coming series against Rutgers at home has to be a sweep. If you're talking about at-large bid. Now, you're talking about automatic bid. Now, the key is just you go win series. You go win series, make sure that the team is, stays in the upper part of the Big Ten, stays obviously qualified for the tournament, but then gets yourself into a seed position that's going to be, solid to make a run in this tournament. And the other thing is give enough space so that they have the ability in that last weekend. You can say, okay, we might be willing to risk a game in that Michigan series in order to make sure the pitching is set up properly for a run that's designed to win that tournament. And the way this team plays ball now, tonight was not a good example. Or excuse me, tonight. This afternoon was not a good
It was
example.
both. Not at night.
It
There's
was
no
both.
lights, Paul.
Yes. This afternoon was not a good example because that was kind of the environment that you would have expected Indiana to do well offensively. And it turns out Ball State was the one doing it. Ball State was hitting the ball on a line and not trying to hit the ball in the air, while Indiana kept hitting the ball in the air that was falling for fly balls. Because that's kind of what you expect. Now, most of the time, Indiana does well with this. And in fact, they struggle. Indiana struggles when they're in situations where where the wind's blowing out in a park like the BART, where home runs are easy when the wind's blowing out. And the pitching is just giving up home run after home run after home run. You cut the home runs out, the pitching does relatively well, and Indiana's offense tends to do better. It's just they struggled doing that in the first 7 innings of this game when it was cold and the wind blowing in.
Now, Carl, just to back you up one point for the when you were talking about the Big Ten and where we want to comfortably be as far as rankings, when you're saying how, what, like top three, we want to, top two, what are
I
we
mean,
looking at?
honestly, it's not a big. If you're talking about just winning the tournament, first of all,
No.
getting top eight's the most important because that
Well,
gets you
right, but then
there.
you were like, you also said like maybe a comfortable, like how comfortable are you where you set up your pitching in the final series?
I mean, it's just a matter of games. I mean, because the point is, if you've got a huge lead over number nine, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. But what
Is
if
that?
you're thinking six or three?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
what the seed is. I now that I really think about it, especially now you look at it, I mean, we're all scratching our heads as to, I mean, you look at the Big Ten standings. This doesn't make any sense.
No. You've the Big got, Ten has been cannibalizing itself.
Right now, there are two teams in the RPI top 50 that if it ended today would not qualify for the Big Ten tournament. Maryland, number 43 in RPI. Rutgers, number 48 in RPI, are 10th and 12th in the league right now.
So they wouldn't even go to Omaha for the turn.
No.
And you have two teams that are in that are triple digit RPI that would. Iowa at 105. Now Iowa's obviously a very talented team.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think one of the big things is there's some of those things that just comes. It doesn't matter what, you probably don't want to face Iowa early in the tournament.
No. Yeah.
You'd rather face them later in the tournament that because of the pitching that they have. But I mean,
even though they've been going to that guy on Sunday now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
He did correct.
But the point
this
is,
last weekend.
But honestly, I think Indiana would do fine against Brecht. And I know Indiana had a really bad game against him. But
I was going to say, Carl, that dude was one of the best performances at the part I've ever seen.
He's not throwing strikes, though.
No.
And Indiana will tear up guys who don't throw strikes.
He did that night.
That, but that's like been like the only game in the last 2 years that that's been the case.
He was just so impressive, dude. I was...
I mean, I listened to that was the thing. I listened to D1 baseball, and Aaron Fitt was like, "I am done with Iowa. They cannot throw strikes. Mm-hmm. Iowa, okay. it's fine. None of them are below 15% walk rate. They just aren't. And Indiana, I mean, that's one of those things. Indiana will take their walks, and they will kill a team that lets them take walks.
Yep.
And
one more question, Carl. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm interviewing you because it just jumped into my head. I'm like, well, I might as well ask him. Will we go for broke for regular season title or no?
Honestly, I find that is even right now, Indiana is three games behind Illinois.
And Illinois beat us.
And Illinois has a tiebreaker.
As it gets to the end, do we go for broke and not set up our pitching for the tournament?
To win a title, absolutely. Because the other thing is, there's a good if Indiana's in that position, Indiana's RPI is in close enough range that a Big Ten title will trump it.
Yeah.
That a Big Ten title will put the resume on the table.
Yeah.
So if we can win the regular season title, it could take the stink off the RPI.
Oh, if they do that, it
well, the point is that what that does is that right now, this is the thing. To get your resume on the table, you got to be at bare minimum top 50 in most situations. You get another, you can get to 65 if you've got a Power 5 title behind you. Okay. That's one thing. That
honestly, I don't think three games is that much. But, you know, if it was seven, well, I would
games.
Throw you a towel right now.
Four games.
Three games, I'm in. Is it four?
They have they have the tiebreaker.
So. Not necessarily.
Because no?
if it's a three-way tiebreaker, that changes things.
Okay, that's fair.
That's, and the other thing is remember a title, and all that's about is seeding. Title has nothing to do with tie. Tiebreakers don't impact the title. The title now it's a split title. I don't know that a split title anyway. I don't know how much a split title matters in this. For example, you look at it like West Virginia last year. If a split title mattered, West Virginia probably would have hosted.
Yeah.
So I don't think a split title even matters. I think you got to win the title outright for it to bump. But then again, I mean, the point is you're also, I mean, that is winning something. So
with four series to go, with three back, give or take, however you want to look at it, I mean, you got to go for it, right?
Right. But right I'm telling now. You, Indiana has a tougher road than Illinois does down the road.
Yes.
So now the point is,
that's okay.
Yeah, I know you're convinced Illinois isn't that good, but
from the series I saw, which is the only time I've ever watched them play baseball, I really thought, honestly, I don't watch Illinois baseball.
Right.
But when they came to our park, I was not that impressed. I was more disappointed at us.
Yeah.
And they've won what, eight straight right now?
Yes. They're just absolutely on a tear.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? You know what they say about the back of your baseball card? So if they've won eight straight now, I see some losing coming their way because your numbers usually end up what they usually are on the back of your baseball card.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Maybe it was who they were playing. I don't know. But you're telling me we're chasing Illinois, that team that I saw that came and played us. Yes, they beat us. I'm okay
with that.
Yeah, but
you're also chasing Nebraska, Michigan, Purdue.
But we get to play them.
But we
right.
have
that's a good point. That is the point. You can take care of those on your own.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting. That's what I'm saying. I think getting that regular season title, can it push past this RPI? I don't know.
Yep. And then again, the tournament itself, the Big Ten tournament itself, can also make an impact on RPI. And then it also just depends on where the other teams land. My calculations, I don't have a formula to make it work at the end of the season other than to compare the RPI numbers of the teams that were of those ranks last year. And it's possible. It usually isn't. Usually those numbers are pretty darn close. But it's possible those could be different. I wouldn't think this year would be that different. Next year, with all the conference realignment, I'm gonna have trouble
fun.
Making any of my predictions,
right?
Because the conference realignment is gonna change so
you
much.
Better figure it out, Cole. You're a guy for this stuff.
It's gonna be. Well, I mean, but I'm honestly, I botched it this year. I said that the number
you just
to get
thought, you thought some teams wouldn't win as many games as they did. That's all.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a 9-win difference in strength. The strength of schedule is massively better than the one
good
I predicted.
Us. Good for us.
Yep. It just would have been nice if you didn't have all the bad losses, because this would be a shoe-in year. Mm-hmm. If this team had gotten up to, you know,
step up. You can't,
high 30s in
yeah, well,
in
these guys are, unfortunately, you know, we don't rise up to the level of competition. We go down to them. Mm-hmm. It's been happening all year.
Although, hey, if we're playing good competition and we can play up to the competition, I'll take that.
Yeah, and maybe we can work out something here in the Big Ten regular season. But Colin just nailed it. You know, I know we don't curse on this show, so I'm talking slowly right now. But we made some errors there against some teams we shouldn't have, and we're paying for it. But that's life.
All right, sorry, I had to pause there for a second because my audio went out for a second, but I'm back.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
We thought you had your hand on the beat ready for me to get cursing something.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't hear you there for a little bit, so.
You didn't. I behaved. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I'll check in the video. Okay, Cass. So, you know, this week we only have one preview because it's finals week next week, and there will not be a midweek, since they played essentially almost two midweeks this afternoon. We're now ready for a Big Ten series, an important home Big Ten series against a very hard to understand Rutgers Scarlet Knights team. So go for it, Cass.
Yes, and I feel like that hard to understand bit is just a qualifier for the entirety of the Big Ten right now. But Rutgers is currently 24-16 on the year, which I would think is doing all right, except they're 3-9 in the Big Ten, which is not so all right. As we had mentioned at some point, they are 48th in the RPI, but they do have a 14-11 record on the road. But in the Big Ten, they have three series losses and one series win. They lost at Michigan State 1-2. They got swept by Purdue at Purdue. You called it the Nebraska kryptonite, but they managed to beat Nebraska 2-1, and they got swept by Iowa at Iowa just last weekend. So they're kind of a bit all over the place. And so starting with the pitchers, Their Friday ace is Justin Sinibaldi. He currently has a 2.55 ERA in an insane 67 innings of work. That is far more than any other pitcher on this staff. He has a 0.97 whip. He does not give up much. He has one complete game on the year. He's got a 2.11 batting average against. He's given up just two home runs. And he has 14 walks to 56 strikeouts. Right. He is a huge, huge strikeout guy. Now, if the Hoosiers get past him, now Rutgers has been kind of all over the place on Saturdays. They have had four different pitchers start on Big Ten Saturdays so far this season. They've kind of been treating Saturday like it seems like IU treats Sunday, where you kind of see who you've got left, or how IU had been treating Sundays before Ty Rye was back in play. So I'm going to skip that for now and go to Sunday, which has typically been in Big Ten play, Christian Coppola, who was one of those Saturday starters in 1 week. But he currently has a 6.80 ERA, in 42 and a third innings of work. He's the only other pitcher to have enough innings to count statistically. And he has walked slightly more at 31 walks, but he's also struck out 47 batters. So he's striking out more than one an inning. He has given up six home runs, which is the most on the staff. And he has a 2.55 batting average against. Now, out of the rest of the guys who have started a Big Ten weekend game, there's a decent chance for Jordan Falco, who has a 3.90 ERA with a 1.30 whip in 30 innings of work. He has a 2.43 batting average against. The other potential option would be Zach I keep looking at it. Konstantinovski, who has a 5.29 ERA in 34 innings of work, but his batting average against is 3.14. So guys are getting hits pretty well, but he's, in comparison, managed to minimize the damage a bit. Some other names to watch for are Joey DeCaro, who's got a 2.35 ERA exclusively in relief.
I'm going to guess he's a hometown guy, Cass.
Probably.
Joey DeCaro's got to be from Jersey.
I'm guessing. But he's pitched 15 and a third innings in 15 appearances. So he's a guy, he's going to go one inning, dominate that inning, and be done. He also has just a 1.54 batting average against. So he's going to be one, if he's in there, good luck for that inning, because he doesn't give up a whole lot. Another guy who's getting pretty good time out of the pen is, mostly out of the pen, I think he's had one start, is Ben Gorski, who has a 3.57 ERA, just a 1.01 whip, so not letting guys on too much, in 22 and two-thirds innings of work. As a team, the staff has a 5.23 ERA. They've only given up 29 home runs. And the thing that stands out to me, they've, on the season, given up 172 walks to 349 strikeouts. This is a staff that does not walk people all that much, particularly these guys who go on the weekend. So it's going to be important for the Hoosier bats to not be looking for the walk, because it's not going to come often. I know Render was talking about that this afternoon, where there was a spot where I think it was Carter was clearly trying to get the walk and he ended up striking out. Like, so that kind of thing is not going to play well with this Rutgers pitching staff. You're not going to get the walk. And if you do, great, celebrate, but you're largely not going to get the walk. So definitely we'll have to be on the more aggressive side for the Hoosier bats. Now for the Rutgers bats, they have six regular bats who are batting over 300. This starts with Josh Kuroda Grauer, who's hitting 440 on the season still.
Yeah, he's in the top 10 of the country.
Yeah, he has a 1.133 OPS and 19 walks to just 13 strikeouts on the season.
Leadoff
guy? This is a tough guy to get out.
Probably leadoff guy?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, and just fact check cast real quick. Joey Jaccaro went to Huntington Central in Flemington, New Jersey.
Nice.
And what was this guy's name? Was hitting 440?
Josh Kuroda Grauer, hyphenated last name.
Let me see where he hits in the lineup.
And he has started all 40 games. So it's not like, oh, he's got a 440 batting average, but he hasn't played very much. No, he has played.
And we've been hearing his name for years. I think he's like a super senior or something.
Yeah,
so.
Something like that. So that's going to be a really big bat to watch. And then you've got Trevor Cohen, who's hitting 347 with a 421 on base percentage. You've got Tony Santamaria. Well, actually,
let me guess where he's from.
Well, actually, you've got Tony Santamaria, Cameron Love, and Ty Duchette, who are all hitting 333 on the season. Santamaria has 10 home runs on the season to lead the team, but he does have 36 strikeouts to go with that, which is pretty typical. And Ty Duchette is second on the team with 8 home runs. So those are a couple of guys who have power behind them. And then the final bat that's over 300 right now is Pete DeRocher, who's batting 321. And he's only got 13 Ks on the season. Another couple of bats to watch for. Jackson Natalie has 5 home runs on the year. And RJ Johnson, he's getting on base at a decent clip, but he is 11 for 12 for stolen bases. And he does not lead the team at 11 for 12. That would go to Josh Kuroda Grauer, who is 20 for 22 in stolen bases. In fact, as a team, Rutgers is 70 for 88 in stolen bases. I don't think any of the other teams we've played against has anywhere near those kinds of numbers. So they are going to run, and the middle infields, Stadler and possibly Skyler, depending on how things are going, and Cerny and Jolly will need to be well aware that these guys will be running. There is no question about that.
That's good for sales of food and beverage at the ballpark. There's going to be a lot of pickoff throws.
Yes.
And these games are going to be long.
Yep. And as a team, Rutgers is batting 315. So they're in that same kind of ballpark where IU's been of batting right around 300 as a team. So this is a potent offense. They do have 39 home runs on the year. And we know that the BART tends to play well for home runs. So this is going to be... this is going to be a test. I know their record doesn't seem to show it, but these bats can hit. It's just going to be a matter of, can they get to the pitching staff? That's going to be the big question here. Can they score enough runs that the Rutgers bats don't matter? And that's where we get into our previous conversations of, can't have these slow starts, not getting anything going till the fifth, sixth inning. It's all going to be in play in this Rutgers series. So now that we've talked about the upcoming weekend. Chris, what info do you have on Hoosier baseball alums?
Well, I also have an add-on, well, a few add-ons to your series preview, if you don't mind. Sure. Not that you didn't do an outstanding job. You always hit it right with all the numbers. But I got a couple of add-ons. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, there's going to be an all-you-can-eat chicken wing contest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And our buddy Brent Tonsoni is participating in it. Okay? Long-time Hoosier baseball fan. So if you're going to be there Saturday, I don't know how many people have participated in this contest, but he's one of them. He put his name in, and they picked him out of the hat. So we'll be rooting for Brett for the all-you-can-eat on Saturday. On Sunday is Little League discount day. So if you have a team, I think it's down to like $3 a ticket, something like that. If you're a Little League coach or you know one, you know, direct them to the BART, and they can help you out with that. There's also, and I know Indiana's big on weather warnings, and they're usually, you know, about more wind-related or like, you know, God forbid, tornado. And it's nothing to laugh about, tornado watches or warnings. I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is there's a major warning on Saturday and Sunday for some heat. Okay, it's supposed to be 78 to 82 degrees for both games. So bring your sunscreen. I don't want anybody to get sunburned at the BART on Saturday or Sunday because it's going to be very, very sunny. And, you know, I don't want anyone to get any, like, skin issues or anything like that. We're talking about beautiful baseball days, Saturday and Sunday. So get out there, bark at the park. You bring your dog if you want on Saturday. Watch Brett eat a lot of chicken with your dog. Tailgate if you want. Come early. The game's not till 2 o'clock. I have my cooler here. I'm going to bring my cooler on Saturday, you know, and do some tailgating. Sunday is an 11 a.m. start. I also want to point out, which is very rare for the BART, unless it involves, like, doubleheaders and stuff. This is just one game on Sunday, and it is at 11 a.m. because it's nationally broadcast on the Big Ten Network, so that's something to think about, too. We got all these Jersey boys that Cash just talked about. You know, we got to take it to him, right? It's the Peter Cerruto Invitational here. He's played for both of us. And, you know, I think Pete's rooting for us. I haven't spoke to Pete in quite a while. I think it was in Kentucky when he was coming off of BP on that Sunday after he had hit the bomb on Saturday. I remember I was like, it had to be you. And he was just so happy and that he had hit that bomb for this fan base on that Saturday. But Peter Cerruto Invitational this weekend at the BART. You know, it's Rutgers. It's Indiana. It's big for us. You know, Carl spoke about it a lot as far as winning the Big Ten games. Cash just went over all those players that they have. I couldn't find out where that guy was hitting leadoff. I don't know. My Wi-Fi wasn't really loading that quick. But this team is stacked. I mean, Cash just went over it. This is going to be a big-time weekend. And I know they're itching to move up in the standings. Didn't they just come off a sweep or a big weekend? Yeah. You know? And we might have had a disappointing weekend. We thought we were going to sweep and we didn't. So we got to take it to them. You know, and something I know about East Coast baseball fans, they're a bit passionate. So we might be hearing a bit from that family section. Keep it clean. Keep it fair. We're here for fun, right? No one needs to get, you know, a little crazy. Back and forth is good. It's friendly. It's happy. Back and forth. You know, don't get too – they're road fans. It's okay. You know, they might get a little loud. I'm just a heads up. They are East Coasters, so it should be a fun weekend, really. I hope a lot of people can get to the BART. As far as our alumni, we had a couple of really nice accolades that have been matched. We had a player of the week in the Carolina League, Philip Glasser. This guy's just hitting the cover off the ball. I talk about him every week, I feel like. So he did get honored for the Carolina Player of the Week. Craig Yoho was noticed by the Brewers player development site, and they pointed out Yoho has 11 strikeouts and just one walk, no earned runs, and 5 2/3. He's really impressed. So I think Yoho and Glasser are due for some promotions, honestly. And another milestone, Kyle Schwarber. He hit his 250th and 251st home run since we last had a podcast. That, according to at Pro Bowl Hoosiers on Twitter, that puts him second all time for Hoosier alumni. He lists the top 13 here. I'm not going to go over all 13, but I'll give you the top five. Mickey Morandini, 32 home runs. Josh, we're going to skip number four. Number three, Alex Dickerson, 40 home runs. Number two, Kyle Schwarber, 251 home runs. And Ted Kluczynski, 279 home runs. So, I mean, obviously number one is right there for Kyle if he wants to be the number one guy. What's that? I don't want to jinx him. God forbid he gets hurt or something goes wrong. But, I mean, we're talking 28 home runs. I think Kyle's got that in him. And he can sit there at the top of our home run leaders for Hoosier alumni. And I think that's, pretty special for a guy that we saw play. And you know, they put the number on the light post for him. For those who don't know that, there's a, 419, whatever the marker is on the pole in right field. Schwarber was hitting so many bombs out there, they couldn't, like, judge it as well. We didn't have, like, hit tracks back then and stuff. So they put the number on the board halfway through this, on the light post. So it's the Schwarber pole. I think that's pretty cool. I hope they retire his number one day. We'll see what happens. Maybe it's after he's in the Hall of Fame or something, or some kind of Hall of Fame. I don't know. But good for Kyle. Moving all the way up, he's going to catch Ted Kluczynski, I would think, and be number one. And we talked a lot about hitting, you know, early on this pod. But, you know, there was an issue this weekend. Pitching-wise, we didn't have Connor Foley out there in Minnesota. We heard some reports about stiffness from sources and that he wasn't making the trip because of that. But, you know, we're expecting him to pitch this weekend against Rutgers. And what else your thoughts on the pitching, Carl, coming into this weekend?
Yeah. Well, you know, overall, I think when you look at the last few weeks compared to the time to March, when you look at April to March, I think they've taken some big strides forwards. Now, you've had a couple of specific games where things have not gone well. But in general, I think they're starting to kind of get guys settled into roles. Now, again, I'm not privy to exactly where Foley is on this, but you got to, my hope is they've been pretty solid since the weekend that they expect that Foley was going to be ready to go. So, and especially given that things got pushed back a day in the last week, you know, my hope would be that Foley would be ready to go on Friday. And that makes it Foley, Bothwell, Rybarczyk as a weekend rotation. Obviously, you know, Phillips struggled a bit today. But I think the whole idea of this midweek's rolling one guy out per inning, I really like that. I think overall that worked well. Now it would be nicer in the early stages if they can get a little bit better performance out of some of these guys. But in general, it worked, and towards the end of the game, it worked really well. And I think the bullpen pieces are starting to pull together. I think you've got, you know, Drew Burr is kind of coming up there as one of your top guys out of it. And now that you know, now Reisdorf had a somewhat decent, you know, start when he did his start. I mean, I guess it's possible that they could shuffle that too. They could have Reisdorf start on Sunday and then have Rybarczyk follow him. I don't know how that's all going to work out. But at the same time, I would have to think that they would be thinking, if you get into a tight game, especially the way you kind of described that, Cass, on Friday, you know, if Foley does a good job, gets five solid innings, and it's like, you know, a 1-1 game, that seems like an ideal spot to use, you know, Braden Reisdorf in, get him into a real hot situation and try to finish that game out. They've got options, and I think they've got, and the thing is, going a weekend on the road, winning a series without your ace, that says a lot. And I know that, yes, that one game was not just bad, it was awful. But it was just one game. You know. So, you know, you're looking at a 2.5 to 1.5 week. Sorry. We have to keep talking about this tie. It just
lots of ties, bro. Lots of ties. Well, it's like the team, right? We got Bothwell, Rybarczyk, Cerny, lots of ties.
All kinds of
ties. Well, if I could just mention DeCrepetti and Vogel.
Yeah.
I really would like to shout them out as far as pitching. Even though DeCrepetti weighs that 55 that I don't like for Hershiser. But they've both really been impressive. And I don't know, I've always been a fan of DeCrepetti. I really think that he really has the good stuff, and it's just about being consistent. Vogel's new, so we're learning about him too. But lately, you know, you were shrinking it down micro to the, like, you know, what's been lately. Got to shout out Decker, Petty, and Vogel.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. All right. Well, we have one more topic to discuss, and that is Big Ten Pick'em, in which Chris has been just on a tear, 9-1 in the last 2 weeks. He's past Cass now for third place, and he's only a series behind Zach, who is only a series behind Josh. So and we won't talk about where I'm at because Cass is still far in front of me, I think it's just going to be interesting how this we've got Chris on a tear. Is he going to try to take out Zach and Josh this week? I don't yet, I think, have Zach's picks, but they'll be up when I post for the week. I do have Josh's picks. I'm going to go ahead and start with Josh's picks. So Josh, the series, we've got Illinois at Maryland. Josh has picked Illinois. Michigan State at Ohio State. Josh has picked Michigan State. Purdue at Northwestern. Josh has picked Purdue. And then he's taking Penn State at home against Minnesota and Nebraska at home against Iowa. Chris, you're up next.
All right. I'm going to go to my normal waving the flag for the Hoosier Ticket Project. Now, if you don't know about the Hoosier Ticket Project, there has been a site and a foundation created to help Hoosiers get to games that maybe they couldn't ordinarily get to. So if you have some tickets you're not going to use, maybe some red seats that you just picked up, you know, to kind of move those points up for basketball, or for whatever reason you have extra tickets and you can't head to the bar on this gorgeous Saturday and Sunday weather, contact the Hoosier Ticket Project. The links will be in the podcast. We put them out on Twitter and on Facebook group all the time. Donate the tickets, you know, if you can, and you can help somebody out, it's an opportunity to get Hoosier fans to a game. Now, also, we had a testimonial someone sent in. I'm not sure. I didn't see this on the site last time I looked, so maybe it's from the Penn State weekend. I'm not sure. I cannot quote that. But this is the first time I've seen this on their site. It says, we had an awesome time, and the kids loved it. They were talking about wanting to go to IU the entire way home. Thank you for helping to ignite that spark. We ended up taking 3 kids with us. Thank you again, Hoosier Ticket Project. So I thought that was cool that, and again, I don't know if this is from the Penn State series, but it's the first time I saw this. So whatever tickets and whatever game that was from, I think it's cool that whoever was, you know, of accepting of the tickets was nice enough to put the testimonial up on the website. And you can really help out people that might not otherwise get to games. And if you're on the other side of the gamut and you're not really have it in your budget to get to a ball game, I mean, if you have Little League kids this weekend, you can go Sunday for $3. But even then, you know, 4 tickets and food and the whole thing, I get it. It can be a lot, but the tickets can be free if you contact the Hoosier Ticket Project and they can help you out. They've helped me out because I've gone 9-1 since I've been promoting them for my picks. So I'm going to say thank you to the Hoosier Ticket Project and give you my picks now. Again, probably aren't going to stay hot. You never know. But baby steps. One of my favorite movies in the 90s was What About Bob with Bill Murray. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But baby steps. I slowly moved up from 5th to 4th to 3rd, and we'll see what happens now. I got Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State, Iowa, and Northwestern.
All right. Cass, what do you have?
So, I've got – and I have just kind of accepted the fact that the Big Ten is just confusing the crap out of me this year, and – notice that the two of us that are so numbers heavy and statistics, and we quantify things, and we're at the bottom this year. And that very much tracks with what the Big Ten has been doing this year. I'm going to go Illinois, because I just don't trust Maryland yet. Can Maryland beat Illinois? Yes. Do I trust them to do so? No. Penn State I'm going to take Penn State over Minnesota, the two bottom teams in the conference. One of them has to win unless it's like tonight and nobody wins. So we'll see how
they might not have lights. I don't know.
They have, I think Northwestern's the only one in the conference without them. But so I'm going to take Penn State. I'm going to give the edge to Ohio State over Michigan State because I haven't seen Michigan State do too much this year. I'm torn on Iowa, Nebraska. I think it's going to, I'm leaning home, so I'm going to go Nebraska there. And I'm going to go Purdue over Northwestern. So Illinois, Penn State, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Purdue.
Okay. Well, I've got to be bold because it's the only way I'm climbing out of the cellar. So Maryland, I'm going to ride with Maryland to be the team to finally beat Illinois in a series. I'm going to say I'm going to stay somewhat conventional and say Penn State holds out against Minnesota at home. You know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say Michigan State's going to upset Ohio State. I'm going to say that Ohio State is finally going to is going to get theirs. And I'm going to go Iowa over Nebraska. Iowa's on a tear, and they just had that good series against Rutgers. I'm going to say they're going to continue that and really make things crazy in the Big Ten, especially if both Maryland and Iowa win. Ooh. It'll be a crazy free for all going on in the league. Chaos, yes. But I'll stay mostly normal and pick Purdue over Northwestern for my last pick. So that way I don't end up over five. Because there's a good chance that this is not going to work out. But yeah. I've got to put at least a little bit out there and try to climb myself out of the cellar. And then Zach's picks will be included on the website when we go forward for the website. So, that'll do it for this edition. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.